this thing about changing behavior, I think it's quite a difficult thing. I studied psychology at colleges, this is like 100 years ago, you know, but trying to implement change for us is difficult. And they say it takes about 6 or 7 weeks for something to really to get hold. But it is possible to do with a bit of will and trying to tune into what is it that would be good for us. The other key spiritual thing is, and I think a lot of people miss this in the Lent thing, it's not about my self-discipline, me trying to do something extraordinary. It's about me tuning into this force for good, which is God, which exists inside me, that is drawing me towards a better lifestyle. And that's a whole different ballgame. That's tuning into a force for good and a force for positivity and a force for change, which is already operating within me. And that's the heart of this Lent thing. That's the heart of the change and the transformation. And that's what's going to help ecology. If everybody was to do that, that would have an enormous impact. Just simply waking up, not being passive, not being asleep, you know, that big word, just drifting through the day, not making any real decisions or not taking responsibility for things. But waking up is probably the heart of the Jesuit spirituality. This is from Anthony de Mello originally, but waking up to the reality in front of us that that's where God is. God is operating in my life. God is inviting me to make changes and to do things differently and to live with a bit more integrity. And the payoff is this sense of, you know, energy, drive, that I'm doing something positive, that this is the way God wants me to live. And that has an effect on other people, I think. I had a huge response to that that post on Facebook. And I think that's part of that. People recognize, you know, the way that God works. People recognize a force for change. People want to do the right thing, I think, and just need to be given the tools in order to be able to implement this in their lives, in order to make these changes.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's no coincidence that the word God and good, you know, have such a similar meaning and source, you know, and there's that idea of being drawn to the good, being drawn to the right way of doing things, you know, that is inherent in us all. We all have a sense of what the right thing is, but whether we achieve that or not, or how we achieve that, is another question. So I suppose it is, as you say, waking up to that. And in many ways, the Jesuit teachings are very much along those lines too, aren't they? You talk about waking up, but it's discernment as well, isn't it? It's like paying attention, being aware, looking at what's around you, and not just moving blindly to the world.
That's right. You know, often I think sometimes religion hasn't done as much of a favor. There's this thing called dualism, which is where you separate yourself from the world. You know, so people tend to privatize religion and tend to privatize God sometimes. You know, so often it ends up this kind of narcissistic thing. It's just about whatever I want and it's about me feeling good. But obviously that's very simplistic, but it's not true. There's a bigger reality here. God is bigger than everything, bigger than our concepts. But that God is operating in the world is a key thing, and God is calling through the things of the world. And we get glimpses of how that operates. And you're right about the Jesuit system. The Ignatian spirituality is about reading the signs, reading reality, and responding to that, and learning how to respond in different ways, learning how to wake up, learning how to take responsibility, learning how to live in a more sustainable way. But as I say, the payoff is this. It's a much better way to live. I remember part of our training as Jesuits is you have to walk for a month in Spain with no money, and you're depending on people's hospitality. So it's this real simple lifestyle thing, and boy, does it teach you something about what you need. You need very little, and trusting that things will be provided, trusting that, you know, you'll be given what you need, and that just being in harmony with yourself and the earth, that this is possible, and that this is a really good way to live. Especially this thing about social justice, that, you know, half the world is living in poverty. Here we are living in luxury with a lot more than we need. So we need to live simply in order that others must simply live. That's a key part of this whole thing as well. This is an urgent demand for the world, for social justice, for solidarity with people that are really suffering.
That's a very big point, isn't it? That's a very key point. And that's a quote from Gandhi, of course, isn't it? To live simply so that others can simply live. And I mean, that just really is at the core of spirituality.
That's it. Exactly. You know, it's the truth about the world and the way things are. And it's this whole thing about culture as well. So we're surrounded, those of us who live in the developing world, we're surrounded by TV, advertisements, internet, and it's all trying to paint a picture of this is the way things are. So you can have whatever you want. It's consumerism. You buy stuff in order to be happy. It's the biggest lie that's ever been propagated in the history of the world, you know. I think we know that. I know that myself, having worked in industry and worked in computers and had all those things, and it's such an empty place to be. It's a lie, you know. It's the strongest word I can put on it. So let's wake up to the real reality. You know, life is more than just money. It's more than just about having things. It's got to be about, you know, living in a way that is right, that is good, sustainable, that is respectful, and that, you know, respects people, respects the planet, respects ourselves, and the joy that comes from that. That's the ingredient there that I'm really trying to communicate. It's a different world, it's a different way of living, but boy, does it have a payoff. And you can live with yourself, and you can live with other people, you live with the planet ultimately.
Well, obviously, yeah, it's kind of a case of survival, literally, you know. I mean, and you talk too about mercy, not sacrifice. And I think that maybe that's touching on a little bit of what you're saying there too, that, you know, it's not just a case of my self-discipline and am I great that I managed to do that. It's like, it's just a sort of a tuning in to the integrated, humble, merciful way that we need to live.
That's right. That's a quote from Pope Francis, quoted the prophet Amos from the Old Testament. He says, "What I want is love or mercy, not sacrifice." And again, it's a bit of a stereotype, but the Old Testament often puts the emphasis on sacrifice, about, you know, sacrificing pigeons or doves or giving up things without realizing the purpose of that. So the purpose is to be merciful, to be compassionate, to be a good person. And that's the twist that Pope Francis puts on it. You know, wake up to what you're doing. Wake up to how you're treating people. It's not just about you taking a shortcut by, you know, let me give up chocolate for Lent, or let me get me fit for Lent or whatever. I mean, it's like a modern 21st century solution for my personal woes, but it's not actually connected to any real wider reality. So Pope Francis is pointing out it's about having mercy or love at the center of your heart that transforms the way you see things, transforms you, first of all, the way that God operates, and then transforms your interaction with the world, how you are, you know, how you live from that love. I mean, it's easy to say that, and it's a lot more difficult to live it, but that's the way God is operating on us, to change our hearts, to change our priorities, to change the way that we see the world.
It's interesting that Pope Francis is coming out with a lot of this stuff, because the church in the past has been accused, and you've mentioned it yourself, that sometimes religion is almost like a barrier, but the church hasn't been shy of going after luxury and opulence and big fancy buildings and galleries and carriages and clothing and everything. You know, I mean, they've certainly not shied away from that in the past. And to some degree, Pope Francis is trying to change that, you know, with the simple garments and the simple cars and all that type of thing.
That's right. I mean, Pope Francis has been called the great reformer, and but he's really trying to call people back to the gospel. I think people sometimes lost the run of themselves. As you say, that it became about status and about luxury and about, you know, having all these things again. But I think people recognize that. People recognize that that is not authentic. That's not the way to live. That's not the real gospel. So the gospel has a bit of a hard edge to it. The gospel is about authenticity, about how you live, about how you prioritize things, how you treat people, that love that's at your heart. And unfortunately, people get sidetracked. Obviously, I mean, I think we're all liable to that. We get sidetracked into these idols that I mentioned before, the idols about having things, that these kind of secretly creep in the back door and suddenly take over our hearts. They say that your treasure is where your heart is. You know, the way that some people have this treasure at home, and it's all these things, or it's a room locked away, or it's stuff in a bank or whatever. And I mean, that's fair enough. A lot of people do that, but that is not what the gospel says. The gospel says it's about you as a person. It's about how you're living the love that you have been given, this love that comes from God, that is freely given, and that has an extraordinary effect, has this transforming effect on us. If we can only wake up to that. And as I said earlier, that God is communicating through the world this message of God's love. And it's so clear in creation, that creation is that this gospel message as well. This is the way that God is communicating with us. And it tells us about how we might live, tells us about, you know, how we might grow and develop and be authentic human beings, which is, I think, what a lot of people are looking for, and not to get sidetracked. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of secularism. I mean, a lot of people have got disillusioned with religion, have turned away from it. But I think there's a hunger for real stuff, for real spirituality, for the real gospel, for a gospel that makes sense, that has a bite, that makes a commitment to the world, makes a commitment to the poor, makes a commitment to people living in a more dignified and more respectful way.